Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Today is Friday, October the 15th in the year 2010 at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our topic for the day is the brain and ADHD medications made simple. And with me today in our virtual studio is Lori Dupar. Before we get into the meat of today's show, I have a few things kind of want to cover first. I want to publicly thank the ADHD Coaches Organization and its board for supporting Attention Talk Radio over the last several weeks. And as a public service announcement for the ACO, I'd like to let the ADHD coaches in our audience know that it's election time at ACO, and the nominating committee is seeking candidates for three positions on the board. Because it's a working board, your ability as a coach is less important than your abilities in other areas, such as the ability to read financial reports, network effectively, et cetera. If you are an ADHD coach and you are a member of the ACO and you are interested in being nominated, you can go to ADHDcoaches.org/committees for a job description, and then just probably just hit contact, hit the contact button on the ACO website and let them know you're interested. Or if you know Sarah Wright, Rob Garrett, or Susan McIntosh, maybe just drop them an email, let you know that they're interested, and they will take it from there. As a reminder to everyone, check out blogtalkradio.com/ Attention Talk Radio for scheduling of our upcoming shows. I'm happy to say that we've got a few that are going to be scheduled in the next couple of days, so visit there to kind of keep abreast of what's going on. But you guys didn't tune in to listen to announcements. You listened today to listen to what Lori's got to talk about. Before we get to that, I'd like to just – Lori is a professional certified ADHD coach and mentor. She's got over 25 years of experience in the mental wellness field. The background and experience in education give her a working knowledge of neurobiology, psychopharmacology, and treatments – associated with ADHD. Professionally, she's always been passionate about her work around ADHD, and personally, several of her family members have been diagnosed with ADHD. Several years ago, she started Change of Focus coaching program because she believed that ADHD is a very real challenge for many people and that the treatment and solutions for ADHD challenges should be no more mysterious or unattainable than people with other natural health disorders. She coaches people of all ages. That's important out there. Many of us specialize in certain areas, but she coaches the age bracket that runs the gamut, and she feels blessed and privileged to be able to combine her professional experience and her master's level education as a mental health nurse practitioner with her passion for coaching and offering hope to those with ADD. So with that, Lori, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much. How are you doing?
Oh, I am doing excellent, and this is a real treat for me. We were both at the ACO conference giving presentations against each other, so I didn't get to listen to you. So I finally manipulated this such that I could actually hear excerpts of some of the things that you talked about last May firsthand. I'm like my own private audience. So very excited about this. And just to kind of frame this out for our listeners, one of the key purposes of the show is we want to arm our listeners with information and knowledge on the ADHD brain and medication so that you're in a better position to have an intellectual conversation with the mental health providers. If you're going for diagnosis or you're taking meds and you're in with the provider, many times if you don't really have some background or some thoughts, that time that you spend in there is so short, you don't almost really know what to say.
Absolutely.
And so we really want to use this as an opportunity to let Lori break these things down in some simplicity so you know what's going on and you can speak intelligently. So, Lori,
yeah.
I'd like to begin by asking you, can you talk about neurobiology in the brain and, mm-hmm. and give us a little bit of a working knowledge of that, and then we'll go into medications.
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much, Jeff. It's really exciting. This is one of the things I'm very passionate about, and like you said in your lovely introduction, it's a real pleasure for me to be able to take all this education that I have and really be able to share it with my clients and other people so that they can go in and feel empowered to talk to their medical health or their mental health practitioners or their medical physicians or anyone that is helping them try and manage the symptoms of their ADHD if they choose to do that in a medical sense or in a using pharmacology to do that. But one of the things that I find is that, as you said, you don't know what you don't know, and I find that a lot of individuals just really don't know what questions to ask or how to present it so they can even know how their brain works to know what the medication should be doing. So when I'm working with my clients or doing any sort of public speaking about this particular subject, what I like to do is really break it down. I know I sort of jokingly say that when I was in my nurse practitioner training program, those diagrams that we saw of the brain that have all these huge words, I had to learn them in order to, get my license. But at the same time, I also know that they're not it's not absolutely necessary to know all these huge phrases in order to be able to advocate for yourself and to discover what the best treatment might be for you and your ADHD. So what I like to I really take sort of look at the brain and sort of cross out a bunch of all these big words, and really how I explain it and how I find that my clients really get a lot of benefit from that is help them to understand that really what's happening in the ADHD brain is that there's simply just either not enough dopamine being produced and getting to the front part of the brain, this frontal lobe, this executive function that we call it, or there might be enough being produced, but for some reason it's not being transferred along the neural pathways in order to get to that frontal lobe of the brain and activate those parts of the brain. A couple of things that I find are really useful for people to understand in this process is that dopamine is really formed in the middle part of the brain. There's a lot of different parts of the brain that are going on, and there's a lot of great literature and information about some of how these all interact. But just knowing that really there's sort of a transfer dilemma here, either in amount or efficiency, is really what's going on. And that sort of sets the stage in a very simplistic way, I hope, for people to then take the next step, which they usually are just sort of exploring what perhaps if they do want to manage their ADHD with psychopharmacology or medications, what exactly those are doing. So really just understanding that there's this place where dopamine is produced, that it really needs to be moved in an efficient way, and there needs to be in a sufficient amount to get to that frontal lobe, that the neurons are able to utilize the dopamine to have all those to activate all those executive functions is really what's going on. And then when we get to the medications, there's actually some specific gaps in between the neurons. There's different terms for them. Gap seems to be a really sufficient term, where oftentimes what's happening is that the neurons, there's either not enough or they're not being transferred from one neuron to the next.
So really what we're dealing with is just a chemical adjustment or the facilitating of the transfer of a chemical from one region of the brain to another region of the brain to help your prefrontal cortex, if you will, work optimally.
Absolutely, yes. It's a very electrical, our brain is, I think there was sort of the term, I use the term sort of demystifying. I mean, our brain is just another organ of the body, and it uses certain chemicals in order to function. And for some people, genetically, we know ADHD is genetic, for whatever reason, they either don't produce enough dopamine or for some reason the way that it's transferred in their particular neuronal structure just isn't efficient to get it to that front part of their brain in order to activate that lobe. It's really no different than when we're looking at, I think the example is sort of like of insulin. Some people genetically just do not, in the disorder of diabetes, just don't produce enough insulin.
Mm-hmm.
It's nobody's fault. It's just the way it is, and it tends to, happen in genetically through families. Mm-hmm. The brain is really just another organ of our body. It tends to be a little bit more sort of mysterious because I think it's – I actually look at it like as a last frontier sort of a thing. It's a little bit sort of encapsulated in there, but really it functions quite logically as another organ and uses these neurochemicals, and there's several of them that I think we'll probably talk about a little bit later that are essential to sort of its optimal functioning.
And it's just adjusting and regulating and helping transfer the proper chemicals to the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what our medications are doing, is they are directly activating these neurochemicals in order to either produce more of them so the brain has enough to move along this neuronal pathway up to the front part of the brain, or it's helping to actually move them, creating mechanisms at the ends of the neurons, because our neurons sort of, you know, they basically have one end looking at the other end, sort of with a space in between, to help them actually move these across this particular gap that's in the brain, all the way sort of like a linear fashion, all the way up to the frontal lobe.
One of the key things, one of the reasons, really reasons I wanted to do the show with you, Lori, is to impress upon the people that everybody's brain's a little bit different. And we're talking about the chemical stuff that's all a little bit different. So I know as a coach, ADD coach, when I'm working with people, I mean, I'm not a mental health care provider, but I'm trying to help them understand this stuff and give them a language so they can go to the doctor, because the doctor or the mental health people, they know the drugs, but there's at some point in time, there's the understanding how you feel and what's going on, and this give and take in that conversation to determine which drug really makes sense for you.
Right. I think even within, and I'm not sure if you're talking, Jeff, about even though we think about three basic neurotransmitters, we think about dopamine, which is really the neurochemical that is in either insufficient or inefficient amounts in our brain. Serotonin, most people know about through such disorders as depression or anxiety, or norepinephrine, which is another one, a little bit more of a sort of ambiguous neurotransmitter, but has a lot to do with sort of our feelings of motivation and energy and those sorts of things. When you think about the various ways that those can all come together in people's brains, one person with attention deficit disorder is going to present very differently than another. Even if those other neurotransmitters are within normal amounts and functioning in optimum capacity, so to speak, their particular ADHD, which is, I think, is a really completely fascinating part for me, probably more as a clinician, and also makes it very exciting when I'm meeting with clients, because I am looking, and I do know that everybody's attention deficit disorder shows up for them in different ways. I don't think we know scientifically why that is, because, again, this part of the brain, we're still discovering how it works and how all these pieces sort of interact with each other. I use the analogy of saying that everybody has, we all have a face and we all sort of recognize that, but everybody's comes together a little bit different. So what particular challenges they're having and how those exhibit themselves, absolutely are going to show up differently for each person.
Absolutely.
Different medications are going to be more effective for one than the other. I mean, that's the great thing. I know 10, 15 years ago when my own son was diagnosed with ADD and I was this mental health professional diagnosing clients and treating clients for other mental health disorders, there was a very small amount of opportunity that we had for treatment with attention deficit disorder. I mean, it really is an exciting time if we look at it that way. And one of the reasons that there are so many different medications available and they work because they work differently and different people benefit from them. What I find is that for a lot of folks, as we said at the beginning of the show, is that they haven't really had someone either sit down with them or had the time to really understand what's going on so that they can help in that decision-making process.
Yep.
To know how their brain works.
I tell you what, Lori, let's do this. Let's go to a break in a second and we come back. When we get into the drugs, because I know you classify them in like a couple different categories.
Sure.
I think it's worthwhile if we pause, we do that, and you kind of come in and you can talk about the categories and then relate it back to some of the things that we talked about. So before
Great.
We go to break, for those listeners out there who might want to follow up and have some questions or be interested in some of the things that you do, how can they get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Welcome to visit my website. My business is called Change of Focus Coaching, and my website is www.changeoffocus.com. I invite anyone who has any questions to go to my website. You can link in there to an email. Send me an email. I'd be more than happy to answer it and follow up with you. I invite any questions. Thanks, Jeff, for giving me that chance.
Hey, no problem. Excellent.
Yeah.
So with
yeah.
that, we'll be right back after this message.
Thanks.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. Dick Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to DickCoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to Attention Talk Radio. With us today is Lori DePauw, registered psychiatric nurse, talking about the ADHD brain and medications made simple. Well, let's just jump in the second half. Lori, you like to classify the ADHD medications into three categories. Can you give us an overview of those and then talk more specifically about each group?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, the whole point of this is to make it in a user-friendly sort of language. And what I have found that's really helpful is there's really three different categories that are used consistently in treating attention deficit disorder. And those include the stimulants, which we most of us are fairly familiar with. There's a few non-stimulants that are used as well that have been tried over the years that I think are worth talking about as they oftentimes are prescribed in conjunction with these stimulant medications for, as we were talking about earlier, Jeff, sort of the different ways that ADHD might show up for individuals. And then there's sort of what I call the others, which is a few, it seems, over the years, again, in an attempt to help people manage the symptoms of attention deficit disorder. There's been other classifications of medications that have been brought in to try and help with things like, you know, the impulsivity, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really how I classify it. One of the things as I've worked over the years, not only in as a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner and working with pharmacology and understanding the workings of mental health of the brain, is I often, especially working now and specializing in working with attention deficit disorder, I think if our forefathers or forebears or whoever knew when they named stimulants that there would be such a negative response to them however many years later, well, actually about 50, 60 years later now, because Ritalin was been out for that long, I don't think we would have done that. It's sort of gotten twisted, I think, as to actually what's happening. And what I like to use, and when I'm explaining the functioning of medications to the clients that I'm working with, is that I explain to them, yeah, we sort of throw out the word stimulant, but really what it's stimulating is the dopamine, the actual neurotransmitter that is, there's not enough of in the brains of people with attention deficit disorder to get enough dopamine to that frontal lobe of the brain so they can have their focus.
So it's stimulating the production of dopamine or helping transfer it?
In ways it does both, but basically
okay.
What it's doing, it's stimulating in some way either the production, the amount of it, or the transferring of it in the brain, and that's of the dopamine.
And some of the common stimulants are like Ritalin, Adderall?
Yeah. There's really two classifications of the stimulants, and this is sort of another piece that I find is really useful for individuals to have, because sometimes when we're first diagnosed, or what individuals are first diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, really, we're not really sure what's happening with them. Are they producing enough dopamine, or is it that it's not being transferred in an effective way for them? And there's two different categories. One, as you mentioned, is sort of the methylphenidate product, which includes the Ritalin, includes the Metadate, Daytrona, and Concerta, are all in that sort of methylphenidate category. And then we have the others, the Adderall that you mentioned, which is more in the amphetamine category. And one thing that I find, and when people are first diagnosed, sometimes, gosh, for want of a better word, it's a crapshoot. I mean, do we start with one or the other? Some of the best ways when I'm talking with clients and they're trying to decide this is I might ask them if they have any other family members, because we know this is a genetic disorder. If they have any other family members who have been either treated for attention deficit disorder successfully is usually the question I have for them. I usually find that I don't ask them, I'll ask them what they've used and sort of the responses they have. But typically I find, because it's a genetic disorder, that if a family member has had positive results with either the methylphenidate products, the Ritalins, the Daytronas, Concertas, et cetera, that might be a good place for them to start, because for them the challenge for their brain might be the same thing. The two different...
Lori, if I can kind of come here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think this is really kind of important key. If you listen to what Lori's saying, she's saying that sometimes it's a crapshoot. When they're starting the drugs, they're not exactly sure which one to start off with,
right?
Because they don't necessarily know which one, or what the dosage should be. So there's
exactly
a little bit of trial and error and experimenting. This is why we're doing the show and why it's so important, because the doctors are trying this, but you need the feedback and pay attention to what's going on so that they can make the adjustments, because they don't always get it right the first time.
Yeah, sometimes we're lucky. I mean, some individuals are just very lucky, and they get the right, you know, the right medication, and it's the right dose and all of that at the first time. But thank you, Jeff, for saying that, because more typically than not, it is a real frustration for individuals, because it can be sometimes a switching around. And sometimes it might be that it's not a matter of going from using the methylphenidate category and switching over to the amphetamine category and back. However, it might simply be a dosage amount. And oftentimes, over the course of, you know, either maturing or after people start utilizing the medication, they will often find it, you know, they need an adjustment. I think that's part of what's useful for people to know, is that it's not that it's not working. It's that it's like any other tool that we have available to help manage our attention deficit disorder. It has to be used in the right way, the right amount, the right time, all of those sorts of things, in order for them to get maximum efficiency with it.
Is this accurate that not only everything you say is there, but also particularly as kids grow and stuff like that, changes in metabolism can actually impact it? Because if all of a sudden a kid's metabolism increases, it can, A, require a higher level dose, and or maybe exercise or sports in the afternoon would have a tendency, particularly if it's not time-released, for them to come off earlier?
Mm-hmm. Typically what I find is that our changes in our brain changes and matures basically at different ages, and one of the key ages is in our teens, and that usually can be when a dose adjustment or individuals find, gosh, and oftentimes as coaches, those of us that coach or work with individuals of this ages will find that it's usually a time when all of a sudden things are starting not working again. It's like they've been on medication maybe through grade school, and then all of a sudden, because their brain is doing what our brains do, all of our brains do at this particular age, and it does it again in our early 20s and in our 30s and I'm sure throughout our lifetime at different stages. But when those things happen, the needs and the function of the neurons change, and so does the sort of, and so does the requirement and the dosage of the medication. When we're talking about metabolism, I think that's one of those pieces that I personally haven't read a lot about, but I find oftentimes I'm looking at with my clients. A lot of the medications we're prescribed them, you know, we know that they're supposed to work 4 to 6 hours, or they're supposed to work 2 to 4 hours, or supposed to work up to 10 hours. What I find is that when we're talking about metabolism is that for a lot of medications up to this point, some are being produced now that don't have anything to do with how we metabolize them through our system, is that they can actually wear off quite a bit faster. And that's very common, is that when I'm working with individuals, coaching them, is that I'm asking them specific questions about when they take their medication and when it's wearing off. And for those people that tend to have high metabolisms, there's sort of this sense of, well, it should be lasting, or I should be able to get through school, or I should be able to get through a work day. But they're typically finding that it's wearing off despite what the label or what is oftentimes some of their medical practitioners have sort of told them it's supposed to do. It's so individual, and that's just
again,
a really key point.
Even more of a reason to pay attention to how it affects you and articulate it back to the professionals.
Absolutely.
And making the adjustments.
Absolutely.
to get
yeah.
your situation right. So,
absolutely. There are some really... Yeah, go ahead.
We got about 4 minutes to go. It's
uh-huh.
amazing. We should have done this one for an hour. We have the three categories. You got the stimulants, the non-stimulants,
yep.
and the others.
Yep.
And we've been talking about the stimulants.
Yep.
Just to give some fair time, can you touch base on the non-stimulants and others so at least we
absolutely.
Get that
some of the non-stimulants that oftentimes are used are some of what we typically think of as our antidepressants. And the reason being is that they in roundabout ways, oftentimes people with attention, we're not really sure how all these neurotransmitters affect one another, although we know they do. And so it's very common and for oftentimes medications in classifications of antidepressants to be used in conjunction with some of the stimulant medications. Some people actually find relief with them solely, medications such as Strattera or Wellbutrin or Effexor. All of those activate the serotonin and the norepinephrine neurotransmitters. And sometimes those will help with some of the challenges or the symptoms that people are experiencing with attention deficit disorder. Typically, it tends to be more of a sort of a using it with. For a lot of people with attention deficit disorder, they may find a lot of relief for some of perhaps anxiety or some of the depression that they might be feeling when they're using the non-stimulants along with the stimulants.
Mm-hmm.
I think the important piece to remember with that is as anybody who's utilizing medications, is to recognize that unless it's a stimulant, particularly targeting this dopamine, it's not actually working directly on what's the cause of the attention deficit disorder. Does that make I'm sort of like really nailing that? Because I think that's an important distinction. Oftentimes clients will go to their practitioner and maybe prescribe some of these other medications with the expectation that it's going to help with some of their impulsivity or some of their attention challenges. And what I like to help them to understand is that it's not actually directly affecting that dopamine.
It's kind of coming through the back door a little bit.
It's coming through the side door. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's coming through the side doors. I mean, if they really want something, and again, this sort of goes back to that sort of misunderstanding that we have with stimulants, unfortunately, if they really want something that's the cleanest, most direct route to treat their attention deficit disorder in a medical, chemical manner, it's the stimulant medications.
Stimulus.
And there's a lot of choices out there for them, and really educate themselves about how they work and how their body utilizes them.
Excellent. In about 15 seconds, can you just give an overview on the other drugs?
Yeah, the other ones that tend to have been used in the past are what I call the antihypertensives, and they're typically used to help with sometimes the impulsivity. And they can sometimes help. Medications that clients will oftentimes come to me having taken is something like 10X or Clonidine. And those can help sometimes with the impulsivity. So I'm not, and if they find them helpful, I'm great. I mean, I think it's absolutely great. Again, my point being is that if they're really looking for something to address the core reason of their attention deficit disorder, it is the stimulant medications, and that there's many choices to them, and these are pharmacologically designed. There's a huge difference between them and this sort of mythology that we have around the misuse of stimulants. I typically find that my clients can barely remember to take their medication, let alone, misuse it. They really, really benefit from understanding
it. That's a fallacy. Some people claim it's addictive, but many with ADD can't remember to take it.
No, they cannot remember to take it. And, it's a sort of an ironic thing that happened, but yeah.
Well, Laurie, thank you very much for joining us on this edition. And we're going to run over just a second. I think I can do that. Laurie, can you just give them real quickly how they can get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah. Thanks again, Jeff. Please, anyone who wants to get a hold of me, please contact me. You can go through my website at www.changeoffocus.com. Please email me then. I just was thinking that, and, you know, for I'll offer a free consultation to, like, the first 10 people that want to email me. And I'd love to do that and talk with you about maybe some of the challenges you're having and see maybe if I can help you in whatever direction you want to go into. So,
excellent.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah.
Thanks again, Laurie, everybody. Uh-huh. We will catch you next week for another edition of Attention Talk Radio. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, Jeff.